Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, Matt. So the other day, I accidentally swallowed a whole lot of food coloring. And I know what you're saying, accidentally, but whatever. I ended up going to the doctor. And, you know, just wanted to check it out. He said I'm going to be okay, but I feel like I've died a little inside. You're welcome.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing all right.
Good, good. You die a little inside, too?
I died a little inside.
From that joke.
Man, I don't know why that struck me. It's so funny, but it did.
So before we get into it, we'll say go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales. Sign up to become a patron. You can click that link right up there above my head if you're watching the video, and it'll take you directly to Patreon. Sign up for one of our three levels. We've got a $1, $5, and $10 level, and all the levels get a short bonus episode a week. It's like a mini GYT episode. Yeah. Where if we have a topic that doesn't have enough meat on the bone to make a full meal, we'll put it there as like a moose bouche or something. I don't know if I use that moose bouche. I've never had one. I just heard the word and thought it was cool.
What the heck are you talking about?
Kind of like an appetizer. I think fancy people eat moose bouches, but
I don't even know what that term means. I've never heard that before.
I've heard it said a couple times. I think I used it semi-correctly.
A moose bouche.
But it's like one of those. It's like a little appetizer.
Literally means mouth amuser.
There you go. See?
It's a single complimentary bite-sized hors d'oeuvre served before a fine dining meal.
There you go. So,
a moose bouche.
So we put out short little mouth pleasers on our Patreon, which are, you know, like little articles that we found about a Graveyard Tales topic or whatever that we couldn't make into a full episode. So all of our levels get one of those. Then if you move up to our $5, you get that plus you get the ad-free audio and video versions of the episode. If we have an ad that week, you get the ad-free version of it. If we don't have an ad that week, the video version will go up like normal, and I'll post an ad-free audio version for our patrons so they don't get pre- and post-roll ads in there. Then if you move up to the $10, you get all of that, plus you get our second show, Side Quest, which Matt and I, it's hard to believe how many episodes we got of this, Matt. We've got over 110 of these episodes. Feels like just yesterday we started doing Side Quest, but it's basically what it sounds like. It is a side quest of Graveyard Tales for me and Matt, but it has nothing to do with Graveyard Tales most of the time. We play games. Matt likes to bring trivia into it. I like to tell Matt some historical stories or
just listen, people. you need this in your life. I assure you, you will not be disappointed. That show has completely gone off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is literally anything, whatever the other one can come up with.
Yeah.
I mean, we do some of the most unbelievable things and topics on there. Yep. Okay. Just it's short of jackass. You know, we're not doing anything that's going to get us hurt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not yet.
But
maybe
but
in a couple
have,
years.
We have almost thrown up
mm-hmm.
multiple times.
Yep.
Okay. I have had trouble going to sleep after listening to these stories. So I just trust me, you know, you will love it.
Yep. And if you are a SideQuest listener, then you should tell people about it in Facebook or something like that. Tell them about, you know, what you like about SideQuest. If you don't like it, just don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut.
Just keep listening and you'll find something.
Yeah, there'll be something you like.
We'll get there.
Just don't talk bad about us. Our fragile egos can't handle that. but also, if you haven't, we don't say this often, but if you haven't, go, well, Matt says it all the time at the end. I don't say it in the beginning is what I mean. Go over and rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you're on. Give us a 5-star, say something nice. You know, give us a 5-star, say something mean. I don't care. Just give us the 5-star and say something. You can,
yeah, that's right.
You can talk crap if you want. Go, man, I hate that dude's accent. Yeah, me too. It's all right. But go over there, give us a rate and review and share the show so that we can bring more people into the graveyard. Now, Matt, on that note, I've talked enough, but what are we talking about tonight, bro?
All right. So tonight we head into the forests of Ohio, a state that's known for football, Cedar Point, questionable chili decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And apparently an alarming number of giant hairy creatures roaming around in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because for decades, witnesses across Ohio have reported encounters with something massive, something covered in dark hair, something that moves silently through the trees while terrifying hikers and hunters and campers and occasional German shepherds. And most people call it Bigfoot.
Yep.
But in Ohio, it has another name, the Grassman.
Yep.
And unlike the classic Pacific Northwest Sasquatch stories, Ohio's version comes with some extra weirdness. Okay. Witnesses claim that these creatures build massive grass nests. Okay. And they have their own form of communication. They scream and they think they may even have some odd way of traveling between these little towns. Okay. We're going to get into all that.
Helicopters.
But until recently, the sightings have exploded again.
Yep.
Okay. Multiple witnesses, multiple towns, all with a similar description. Tall creatures crossing roads at night, shadowy figures in the tree lines, terrified dogs. And eyewitnesses claiming these things came frighteningly close to their vehicles and their homes. Now, is this mass hysteria? You know Adam's take on that.
Mm-hmm.
Are these people that are misidentifying other animals? Or is there genuinely something enormous moving through the forests of Ohio that we still cannot explain? So tonight, Adam is going to dive into the history of Ohio, the land, the people, the old towns, the folklore created by the this environment for these legends to live on. And I'm going to take you deep into the modern sightings, the Minerva Monster, the recent 2026 sightings, eyewitness accounts, and the legend of the Ohio Grassman.
Yep. And as we always say, go check our sources down in the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information. And anything we talk about tonight is sourced and referenced down there, so you can go check it out. Now, when people think of Ohio, like Matt was saying, they think of cornfields, highways, and suburbs. A lot of people don't think about wilderness. And they don't think of deep forest that swallow up sound when you're in it. They don't think about hills untouched by glaciers, and they don't think of land older than memory. But they should, because for long before Ohio was a state, Before it was farmland and industry, it was something else entirely. Now, 20,000 years ago,
That's
a long time ago. And if you didn't, if you're in Ohio and you didn't know it, you got a long history.
Yeah.
It's not a new history. New history. I heard someone say, sorry to bring it, but I heard someone say discovering new history the other day. And I'm like, no. Yeah, it's not new history. It's new to you. You just learned it. But history is history. It's going to be there. It's always there.
Right.
It's history.
It's always there. It's waiting for you.
Right. Yeah.
To just go and explore.
Yep.
Just start walking backwards.
Yep.
And explore some history.
I think they were trying to do the discovering new knowledge thing, and they just did discovering new history. I'm like, it doesn't work.
Today years old when I learned.
Basically. Yep.
There's history to Ohio.
Yes.
I had no idea.
But 20,000 years ago, most of Ohio was buried under ice sheets that were nearly a mile thick. Glaciers flattened the western half of the region into what would become the Fertile Plains of Ohio, and they gouged out the basin that now holds Lake Erie. They rerouted rivers and left behind thick soil perfect for farming. But here's what's important. The glaciers never touched the southeastern portion of the state. That land, part of the Appalachian Plateau, remained rugged. Steep ridges, deep hollows, dense hardwood forest. Always been untamed. Now, even today, southeastern Ohio feels different. It feels older. It feels wilder. And it's a place where the land folds in on itself, they say. And once the ice melted, the first people followed the melting ice into the region. Now, around 14,000 years ago, Paleo Indians entered this newly thawed world, and they tracked massive Ice Age animals across open plains through the emerging forests that were popping up out of the glacier. They adapted as the climate warmed, and they started learning the rivers and the land in the area. And, I mean, picture that, Matt. You got these massive Ice Age animals, you know, mastodons and stuff that are moving into this area because now they got something to eat. And now you got people hunting. Mm-hmm. I've always found the image of humans hunting mastodons with spears and stuff to be an amazing thought. You know,
it is. And I have a hard time wrapping my head around that post Ice Age era.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we know somewhat what happened, but it took so long for humans to develop, from the old hunter gatherer. And so there's a ton of time eras that go by where, you know, they're learning so much about their environment, the land, and mm-hmm. and what's on the other side of that mountain.
Yep.
What's on the other side of that water? You know, all this stuff. I mean, you know, we take it for granted that you just know, you pick up a map and you look, but there was a time where humans said that could be the end of the world over there.
Yep.
You know, we have no idea what's there, and we're not really sure we can get there.
But
over time, they did.
If they couldn't see it with their own eyes, they had no idea about any of it.
Yep.
Now, over thousands of years, societies grew more complex. Trade networks stretched across the continent. Woodland cultures thrived in the Ohio Valley. And, you know, it was never empty land. It was connected land. So by the time Europeans arrived in the 1600s, indigenous nations like the Shawnee, the Miami, the Wyandot, and Delaware knew these forests intimately. They knew which ridges carried the sound well, which valleys held the fog, which river bends stayed quiet. Well, then came war, disease, displacement, and the forest changed again. It was the 1700s, and Ohio was contested ground. France wanted it. Britain wanted it. Native nations fought to defend it. And the Ohio River became a strategic artery. Control it, and you controlled movement across the frontier. Well, after the American Revolution, the United States organized this territory as the testing ground for westward expansion. So Ohio became the 17th state in 1803. Settlers pushed inland. Forests were cleared. You know, they were moving outward, but not everywhere. Some areas resisted easy development, particularly in the southeastern hills. The terrain was too uneven, the valleys too steep, the land was too fractured, and those pockets remained heavily wooded. And isolation does something interesting. It preserves stories. And Matt and I, we feed on stories like what right. developed in yeah. southeastern Ohio. So people say that there are really two Ohios. There's the western half, which is the glacial plains, straight roads, broad farmland. And then there's the southeastern portion, which is Appalachian foothills, winding creeks, sandstone cliffs, and miles of forest canopy. So it would remind you a lot of Tennessee, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Add to that Ohio's climate, humid summers that pressed in heavy and thick, and winters that can bury towns under lake effect snow, which that scares me. As a Texan, lake effect snow is worse than saying tornado to me.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But you're right. I mean, there are two distinct parts of Ohio because of that.
Right.
You know, that part that deals with the hot, humid summers like we deal with here in the Tennessee Valley, and the people that deal with those really harsh, heavy winters, you know, in the northern part, I mean, that it's almost like you could almost make two different states because the weather isn't the same. You know, even as wide as Tennessee is, our weather is very similar.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? It's hot in the summer. It's humid, even in the mountains. And nobody here is getting buried under feet of snow.
Right.
Okay? It's just not happening.
If you do, something terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And they also have spring storms that roll through suddenly and violently because the weather shifts quickly in Ohio. They say sound travels strangely through the cold air and the damp woods there. Fog gathers in valleys before sunrise, and if you've ever stood in a dense Ohio forest at dusk, they say you know how quiet it can get. Not peaceful, but still. It's like the land is listening to you. Ohio sits between everything. They say north and south, east and west, industrial and wild, plains and mountains, so it's a transitional area, which makes it easy to underestimate, they say. It's a liminal state, if you were to take a word that we've used for a lot of things. The liminal space that
It's transitional.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But when you step off the highway, when you move beyond the suburbs, when you head into the southeastern forest where the glaciers never reached, you start understanding something. This land has always had depth. There's ancient footpaths, hidden valleys, miles of uninterrupted tree cover, and places where visibility drops to only a few yards. Places where something large could move, and you might never see it coming. Because when a landscape is this old, rugged, and forested, it leaves room for stories, and Ohio has plenty of those stories. So, now, we've talked about the land, we've talked about the ice that shaped it, the forest that survived in it, and the hills all over southeastern Ohio. Now, it's time to talk about what people claim moves through those woods even to this day.
Hey,
Hey, Adam, let's take a minute and talk about tonight's sponsor, MeUndies. This is the time of year that I kind of take inventory of my wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've shed quite a few pounds and I've had to buy some new clothes.
That's true, yeah.
You know, Amanda's been on this journey with me too. And she's made mention, it's time for me to get some new underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, with me, I'm like, hot dog. I know where we're going.
Yep.
And you know what?
I got the company for you.
We're going to MeUndies.
Absolutely.
Because I absolutely know whatever we get, whether she picks out a style, whether I pick it out for her, she is going to absolutely love it. And she does. She has got, you know, some new underwear and some new bras. And along with that, I got four daughters. They've all now come back and hit me up. It's like, Dad, we need some new underwear. And I'm mm-hmm. like, go to MeUndies.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so
I
they
got
have
a discount
all
for you.
Yeah, they have all freshened up their underwear wardrobe and they love it.
Oh yeah. Ashley does the same thing. And she looks at the beginning of every summer and says, you know what? Time to get rid of these. These are terrible for the summer. And she's picked out some new MeUndies and we're about to hit finish order on our MeUndies order. But they have a style for everybody, from the classic black basics to fun, expressive seasonal prints. And they got a look for everyone. They come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing that there's a flattering cut for everybody. And MeUndies' signature softer than soft ultramodal fabric is breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy. It's perfect for all day wear. They use sustainably sourced materials too, and they work with the partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, guess what? It's on MeUndies. But with more than 30 million pairs sold and 90,000 five-star reviews, I guarantee you that you're not going to regret upgrading your underwear game. So right now, listeners of Graveyard Tales can get up to 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Just go to MeUndies.com/graveyard and use our promo code Graveyard, G-R-A-V-E-Y-A-R-D.
That's up to 50% off. You cannot beat this deal. Plus, you get free shipping at MeUndies.com/graveyard, promo code Graveyard. Yeah, and you know, I've got a confession to make. When I was a younger man, like really, really young, early 20s, I met a gentleman from Ohio, and he pissed me off. I mean, royally. And he did. And this is on me. I decided that every person in Ohio was this guy. And for a long time, I thought, man, I don't like Ohio because of this one guy.
Yeah.
This one happen. Guy. Okay. But it's funny that there is, I don't know if you've ever picked up on it, but there are places that have like states and cities have these weird connections. Walking around in Middle Tennessee, they now we say you don't meet too many native Nashvillians mm-hmm. or native Middle Tennesseans. Honestly, you meet so many people that are transplants. We right. have a ton of people from Ohio here.
Yeah.
It's almost like they said they drove through Kentucky and they said, not here. Nope, we hadn't got there yet. And yep. then they got in Tennessee and I said, all right, this will work.
This will work.
And yep. they stopped here. It was like, it's almost like Kentucky doesn't exist between us.
Yeah, right.
But there are a lot of people from Ohio. So I've met and worked with and been friends with tons of people from Ohio over the last 30 years. So it changed my opinion. But one thing I must say about Ohioans is that it has a pull. It has a pull. They either end up back there
mm-hmm.
or they want to be back there and just can't yet.
That's like Texas. I mean,
yeah.
Most everybody I met from Texas in Tennessee when I lived there said the same thing I did, is I'm moving back to Texas. And it's like, our thought was, I ain't dying in Tennessee. I'm going to go die in Texas. You know, I will not be laid to rest in Tennessee.
It's crazy up here. You might have died in Tennessee.
Yeah, I could have.
Yeah, it's rough up here. I'm teasing. It's wonderful here.
I know what you're saying about the one person shaping your thought of an entire state. And the reason I know that is because it was turned around on me several times. Even starting this show, Matt, I had a lot of people go, I've never liked Texans. I met a Texan one time, but you're not like they were. No, there's a bunch of us.
There's a lot.
We're all different.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. This guy could have been from the moon and he would have pissed me off. I'm telling you. You know? I'd have hated people from the moon.
I hate moon people.
But I don't. I love people from Ohio. I'm friends with so many. And I'm friends with people that have come here and gone back. That's where I get this idea.
And moon people.
I've had so many friends, that went back.
Mm-hmm.
That came here, lived here, enjoyed living here, but said, I'm going back home. I'm going back home.
You know why? It's because it's really hard in Tennessee to spell out the name of the state. In Ohio, one person just says OH and then next person finishes it out.
Just remember it's two N's, two S's, two E's, and you got it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But their OHIO is like, if you go to a Texan, and we'll see how many Texans are listening, the stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. I guarantee you, every Texan clapped with me when I did that.
Yeah, because of Pee Wee Herman.
That's it.
So Adam just covered the history of Ohio, which, like we said, is, you know, a lot of people don't really go back that far when they look at the history of Ohio. Mm-hmm. It's got a long history. That land has really got some deep, deep history. Everything from rolling hills, river valleys, coal towns, dense forest. I think it's the reason why Ohio may be one of the creepiest states in America, because of all that. And if you're a 7 foot tall, hairy goblin trying to avoid taxes and social interaction, Ohio is not a bad choice. Okay.
True.
And apparently Bigfoot loves Ohio. And I mean, not just a little.
Yep.
You know, when you think of Bigfoot, where do you think?
Northwest.
Yeah, Pacific Northwest, always.
Yep.
But Ohio is consistently ranked among the top states in the country for Sasquatch sightings. Not Washington, not Oregon. Some place where everybody owns flannel and has a dog named Timber. Okay. It's Ohio. That's where Bigfoot loves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of surprising, but you know, learning that history of the land, I can honestly see why.
Yep.
But they don't.
When I looked into southeastern Ohio, and because I didn't realize what a lot of people from Ohio probably don't, is that there are two separate like ecosystems in Ohio. There's that southeastern, which is very Appalachia, which I'm familiar with. And then there's the north part of Ohio that's more flat and everything.
When you're getting up there near the lake, you know, it's different. It's a whole different environment.
Yep.
But the people in Ohio don't always call our buddy Bigfoot. Okay. Now they've got something else. He's got a regional nickname. As I said at the top of the show, it's the Ohio Grassman, which honestly, that sounds like a terrifying cryptid, and it's more like the world's most aggressive lawn care specialist. I mean, if there's not a guy mowing grass doing landscaping in Ohio named the Ohio Grassman, he's missing out. I mean, that would totally be me.
It could also be your neighbor that is like real hippie and just likes to lay around and
get you a tie-dyed van with a big green Bigfoot on the side while pushing a lawnmower.
The Ohio grass man.
What kind of grass are you referring to? What kind of grass you need, man?
Yeah, any kind of grass, man. You need it, I got it.
All right, now, the grass man legend goes back decades in Ohio folklore, especially around the eastern and southern portions of the state. Witnesses describe a massive hairy creature, usually between 7 and 10 feet tall, covered in dark matted hair, with glowing eyes, a horrible smell, and long arms hanging nearly to its knees. The earliest roots of the Grassman legend supposedly go back to Native American stories from the Ohio River Valley and eastern Ohio. Several modern retellings claim tribes in the area described hairy, quote, wild ones of the woods that lived deep in the forests and grasslands. Now, according to later folklore, food was sometimes left out to avoid conflict with these creatures. Now, we've talked about this before. Native Americans that settled in these areas, they had intimate knowledge of the land and what was there. They knew the trees, they knew the ground, they knew the terrain, they knew the wildlife. Okay. So when Native American legends talk about a creature like this, my ears perk up.
Right.
Because I'm like, these were people that lived off the land, that understood the land, where to go, where not to go, and when to go there and when not to go there.
Yeah. And they weren't distracted by like cell phones and stuff. They had to, that was the only thing they could pay attention to was their surroundings. And if they didn't, they could die.
Exactly.
So they needed to be aware of everything.
Now, and I imagine that some of these legends are stories told to children to keep them safe. You know, you don't do this.
Sure.
But not all of them are that.
Right.
And, you know, when I hear these legends about certain creatures or even races of people, which we've heard, you've got to pay attention to that. There's something to it. The Grassman legend really took shape in rural eastern Ohio coal country. And these are places that are filled with dense woods, strip mines, ravines, old railroad corridors, and remote farmland. And honestly, if you were designing a place for a cryptid to hide, you've basically created eastern Ohio.
Right.
But the reason it's called the Grassman is because witnesses claim these creatures build nests. These huge woven structures made from tall grass, reeds, branches, and brush. Almost like primitive shelters. Now, this is where it kind of separates itself from the traditional Bigfoot stories. And it's a little more unsettling because this suggests more of an intelligence.
Right.
We're not talking about just some random monster wandering through the woods. We're talking about something that might actually be intelligent enough to construct things. And that's where it starts getting weird. Now, obviously, Ohio's most famous case is the Minerva Monster from 1978. And if you've never heard of the Minerva Monster, imagine living in a small town in Ohio where one night your neighbor just comes bursting through the door going, "There's an 8-foot ape man outside."
Right.
And instead of going, "Hey, Frank, you're drunk again," the town responds with, "All right, everybody grab your guns."
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. In August of 1978, multiple witnesses in and around Minerva, Ohio, reported seeing a massive hairy creature near abandoned railroad tracks and wooded areas. Witnesses described glowing eyes, terrible smells, and terrifying screams echoing through the night. The Caton family claimed the creature approached their home and stared through the windows. Hal Caton reportedly grabbed a gun, but by the time he returned, the creature had vanished. Now imagine that horror movie.
Right.
You know, this creature wanders up and he's just peeping right in your window. You're sitting there washing dishes and you look up, Mary is staring right at you.
I hate that. We've only heard that a couple times, that the Bigfoot or whatever actually looks in people's windows, like into their house. It's not super common, but every time we've heard it, it gives me the willies, because your house should be your safe space.
True.
You should be able to, you know, go board yourself up in your house and not have to worry about anybody or anything peeking in or anything like that. And then all of a sudden it's a cryptid that 90% of people aren't going to believe you when you tell them. You know, if you were like, oh, Earl was looking in my window, they'd be like, oh yeah, Earl, you know, we'll deal with Earl. But if you're like, Bigfoot was looking in my window, yeah, sure, right.
But it does suggest a level of curiosity.
Yep.
You know, that, you know, and a lack of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to approach this structure. I can see through this part of it. And I see people that don't look like me on the other side, and I'm going to watch. I'm going to observe what they're doing.
Right.
You know, it's one thing for something to just explode out of the woods and just start raising hell everywhere and smashing on doors and windows. It's another thing for it to approach and observe.
Yeah.
Because that says to me that it's curious and learning.
And intelligent, like you said.
Yeah. Now, police would later investigate the property, and they reportedly found large footprints, flattened vegetation, and a strong lingering odor, which to me would suggest that it was still around.
Mm-hmm.
One deputy allegedly called it one of the strangest cases of his career. That looking through the windows thing, it became a recurring theme in Ohio reports after this, which, I mean, honestly, that is nightmare fuel. Yeah. I mean, I have a weird thing when I'm walking through my house at night. Like if I get up in the night and wander in the kitchen, I don't look out the windows.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I guess technically I live in Appalachia, but not really. Okay, where I live is not really Appalachia. Not like what people think of when they think of Appalachia.
Appalachian suburb, maybe.
But it sounds like one of those old sayings that you hear from people from Appalachia, is that if you walk through your house at night, don't look out the windows because you never know what's looking in at you.
Right.
I'm kind of like, there's a creep factor about it. If there's something out there watching me, if it stays out there and watches me, it can see whatever I got. I'm not worried about it. I don't want to know that it's there. I don't want to see it.
I'm with you. Yeah.
And so my head kind of tells me, don't look out that window.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's looking back at you.
Yeah.
it's just something weird that my brain does.
I'm with you. Sometimes I don't do that all the time, but sometimes I do that. And yeah. It's like, I don't want to know. If there is something there, I don't want to know. I'm just, if it kills me, fine. But if it doesn't and lets me go on, ignorance is bliss.
That's it, yeah. Now, the reports became so widespread that armed posses started combing the woods looking for the creature. Y'all, this is 1978, y'all. This is not, you know, the Wild West. And they're putting together posses.
Don't you just love a 1970s armed posse going through the woods?
Seems out of place, but it happened. Newspapers picked up the story nationwide. Television crews arrived. It became one of the most famous Sasquatch cases in the country. And one reason the Grassman has this darker reputation is this repeated association with things like peering in windows, but also dead dogs, livestock mutilation, deer carcasses, missing organs. Can you imagine you show up to church on Sunday and your organ's missing?
That'd be weird. What's it doing with an organ?
And twisted limbs. Man, you ever had your arm get twisted up? That's awful. It's like he's gonna give you noogies or something.
Yeah. Especially if you're all you're doing is trying to find your organ.
Yeah.
And
right.
ends up somebody twisting your arm behind your back.
So the Catons later connected the sightings to the mysterious death of their German shepherd shortly before the encounters began. The dog reportedly had its neck broken.
Leave my dog alone.
Okay, I'm with you. Leave my dogs out of this. Okay, but I want you to think about something. That is, for a human being, that is not a way to kill a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, especially a German Shepherd.
Yeah,
I mean, if you've got like a Shih Tzu, you can probably break its neck. But right. Not a German Shepherd, okay? If you can get close enough to grab it around the neck, you're not going to be able to hold on to it for very long.
Yeah.
So if it broke its neck, if this story is 100% true, it took something really big and strong to do that. If it was a traditional predator, guess what? They don't break dogs' necks.
No.
They don't break necks, period. They don't even break chickens' necks. You know, coyotes don't do that.
But
yeah, that's not how predators operate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, I mean, you would think, oh, well, you found the dead dog as neighbors mad and said, I told them to quit that dog crapping in my yard. He's not going to break its neck, I assure you.
Right. If it was a German Shepherd, it could have been like my neighbor's German Shepherd. No matter what you did in your own backyard, it tried to jump through the fence and kill you and your child and your dog. And you just get tired of yelling at it that this is my yard. Stay in your yard and shut up.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I'm just projecting my frustration from my neighbor's dog, but... It could have been.
Had him over trying to choke out a German Shepherd, you know.
Man, there are days if I could, I'd ring that dog. No, I have had to take my dog in because it goes up to the fence trying to protect me when this German Shepherd is trying to bust down the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you are a Yorkie. You are going to get killed. And so Nash the Beagle doesn't even care. He just leaves it alone. But
yeah, he's smart.
Yeah. I've hollered several times. I can get you in trouble, but I can't get this stupid dog in trouble next door. Hoping the neighbor will hear me.
Yeah.
They don't. They just leave their dog outside the bark.
They are ignoring you.
Mm-hmm.
So other stories that come out of some of these investigations found deer with missing livers. Okay, that's where the missing organs come from. Torn carcasses, broken branches, and huge tracks near feeding areas. But again, none of this is scientifically proven. This is all what has come out of these investigators claim they found. But it's a major reason the Grassman developed a reputation as more dangerous than the typical shy Bigfoot narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another famous detail, witnesses frequently describe glowing orange, yellow, or red eyes. And this became so common that orange eyes actually became another nickname for this creature. Now, in some accounts, witnesses describe reflective eye shine at night, eyes visible before the body was visible, and eyes appearing unnaturally high off the ground, which of course would indicate something that is much, much taller than the average human.
Unnaturally high eyes would fit the Ohio Grassman
thing.
I mean, if your name is the Grassman.
Unusually bloodshot eyes.
Yeah.
So if you're walking through the Ohio woods at night and you see glowing orange eyes at 8 foot, foot height.
Yep. I'm out.
I am immediately becoming religious. Okay. I am praying and running at the same time. It, you know, it's something I don't usually do, but you know I will.
those cartoons where the
feet
go running and then they go just bolt and leave a puff of smoke. That'd be me.
Now, to this day, many researchers believe that the Minerva flap, which is just the collection of sightings, set the standard for modern Ohio Grassman reports. But here's where things get really interesting, because this year, in 2026, Ohio had another flap.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when I say flap, that's cryptozoologic terminology for everybody starts suddenly seeing the same terrifying thing at the same time.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Do you remember years back, Matt, I used the term flap and you were like, who's flapping?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's exactly right. I'd never heard it.
I was like, Matt,
what is a flap? I'm like, what in the world? It sounds scientific, but at the same time, ridiculous.
And yeah,
it's funny, but
I think that's why people into cryptids like myself use it, is because it almost sounds like you know what you're talking about.
It's like this weekend we were driving around and Amanda just out of the blue goes, do you know what a group of pandas is called? and Piper and I are like, no, what? And we're making like guesses, you know,
ridiculous.
It's an embarrassment.
Oh, that makes sense. Yep.
A group of pandas is called an embarrassment.
Yep.
And we laughed about it and Piper's like, no way. And so she asked Alexa and Alexa was like, a group of pandas is called an embarrassment.
Speaking of pandas, not to derail us, but I heard a theory here recently that pandas are a new genetically modified creature that is not natural.
Yeah.
That did not evolve in nature because they were not in Chinese paintings before the 19th century. They can't breed on their own without human help. All they want to do is sit and eat. And then they're stupid. And yeah. They fall off things and all that. Yeah, so they wouldn't survive in the wild.
They're probably one of the clumsiest animals ever.
Yeah. So there's a theory going around now that Chinese scientist actually developed this creature and made it for tourism, and then it's not a natural thing.
Yeah.
And when you know pandas, you're like, that could be.
Hey,
things are dumb.
If you guys have heard that theory or if that piqued your interest, we've got a Patreon coming up where we're going to talk about exactly that. I promise. So you need to go check it out. Okay, but back on track. All right. So this new flap, okay, this new site, the bunch of sightings right here this year in 2026, just recently, beginning around March of 2026, reports started coming in from Northeast Ohio and not spread out over months. They're spread out over days. Researchers documented at least 6 to 8 sightings occurring within roughly a 4-day period around Mantua, Garrettsville, Windham, Streetsboro, Newton Township, and Lake Milton. Now, that is a lot of hairy nonsense in a very short amount of time. I'm serious.
Yeah.
You know, the reports became so concentrated that investigators actually began mapping the sightings to look for movement patterns through the wooded corridors and river valleys in Northeast Ohio.
Huh.
Thinking maybe they have some way of traveling that keeps them, you know, hidden.
Right.
So that,
right.
You know, they were happening so close together. They're like, how are these things moving around without somebody else noticing this travel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they've got some means to travel like this, that it's underground or something.
We've said that for years about Bigfoot traveling through cave systems, mm-hmm. in Appalachia.
Yeah.
So it's either that or they have invisible Bigfoot helicopters.
And look, we're not that far away from, you know, Mammoth Cave and right. that enormous cave system.
Right.
That they seem to keep adding to every year. They find more caves and then they find a connection to it.
Yep.
So we're, you know, geographically we're not that far. So that's not an absurd idea.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these eyewitness reports are pretty compelling. And one of the most talked about sightings happened near Tinker's Creek outside Streetsboro in March of 2026. A woman and another passenger were driving near the creek at night when they reportedly saw a lean brown creature moving along the roadway against traffic. Now, first of all, if you ever see anything walking toward your vehicle in rural Ohio at night, your soul leaves your body. Okay. I mean, you're not expecting anything like that. And now right. something is walking towards you. Now, it could be Bigfoot. It could be a raccoon. It could be somebody named Earl with a chainsaw. So right. you're just kind of like, this is not right. There's a definite creep factor to that alone.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, the witness estimated the creature at approximately 6.5 feet tall. And she claimed it came so close to the vehicle that her passenger could have physically touched it.
Oh, wow. That's close.
And here's one of the details researchers found interesting. She reportedly had no idea about the other sightings happening nearby at the time she gave her report. That means her description wasn't influenced by social media hysteria or the news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that prove that it's Bigfoot? No. But it does make things more interesting, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Another cluster of sightings happened along the Headwaters Trail near Garrettsville and Mantua between March 6th and March 10th of 2026. Several hikers and trail users reported seeing large dark figures moving through wooded sections of the trail system. One witness estimated the creature at nearly 10 feet tall. Now, at 10 feet tall, that's not Bigfoot, okay? That's Forrest Shaquille O'Neal, okay? I mean, that is huge.
That's huge, yeah.
Okay?
Wow.
That is, I mean, imagine a basketball goal with legs. That's mm-hmm. what you're looking at.
That's bigger than 90% plus of the Bigfoot sightings we've heard about.
And I've told this to many people. I saw Shaquille O'Neal live in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, if he just decides to start ripping people's heads off, I hope somebody's got a gun or we're all going to die. Because mm-hmm. that's the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. Was it you that sent me? No, I don't think it was. He graduated recently he got a degree at some college and he's walking across in his cap and gown. And he walks up to get the diploma, and he's like 17 feet taller than the little dude that's handing him the diploma. It's almost like he's got to get down on his knees to get the diploma, and then it looks like a little post-it note in his hand. I'm like, how are you so big,
dude? It's like a Barbie diploma.
Yeah.
So witnesses described broad shoulders, extremely long arms, deep grunting noises, and loud branch snapping sounds moving through the woods. Now, all of these are associated with Bigfoot sightings. Mm-hmm. The branch snapping and all that stuff all go right along with Bigfoot. And one thing that shows up over and over again in Ohio reports is how fast these things allegedly move. Witnesses consistently describe these massive creatures coming across rough terrain silently and quickly, that's scary. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm running through the woods, every branch within three counties is snapping. You know, I'm like, hey, whatever I'm gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, the speed at which these things have been reported to move, you're not going to outrun one if it decides it's going to chase you. But the difference here, like we said before, was traditional Bigfoot stories make it appear to be shy. No matter how big it is, no matter how many noises it may make, the attempt is to scare you away, and then it leaves, okay? Right. We have very few Bigfoot sightings that are considered credible that the Bigfoot is aggressive, okay? That just does not seem to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But here, there has been so much reported that you would want to believe this thing might indeed be aggressive.
Which it seems like it.
Takes us down that road that we've gone down before about there being different species of Bigfoot, which I think is funny, but I love talking about because we can't even prove one, and we're already talking about multiple ones.
Right. But it does seem like there's regional differences.
Yeah.
You know, the Pacific Northwest versus the skunk ape.
Yeah.
Versus the Ohio Grassman versus the Honey Island Swamp Monster. It's so different that it seems like it could be, you know, I'm a fan of Bigfoot, so
yep.
I'll go down this path if you want. But it seems like it could be the same normal, like, line of creatures, and then they're the same creature, but they just develop for their environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to have a skunk ape living in the Pacific Northwest because there's pine trees and stuff up there and it doesn't know what to do.
Right. Now, another fascinating story that comes out of this March 2026 flap is from a homeowner in Portage County. The witness claims their German Shepherd, here we are with the German Shepherds again, mm-hmm. became absolutely terrified during an early morning incident outside their home. And if you are familiar with dogs, that detail matters because dogs are usually the first thing witnesses talk about in Sasquatch encounters. The homeowner reported hearing heavy movement near the tree line before spotting a large shadowy figure moving in the darkness. Meanwhile, the dog reportedly began trembling and refused to go near the woods, which
oh, wow.
I've never owned a German Shepherd. I've had friends that have had them, mm-hmm. and I've had numerous patients that had them. They are not cowardly dogs.
No.
Okay? You know, if they sense that something is dangerous to them, they are going to respond appropriately. But, mm-hmm. you know, even in the case of like wolves and coyotes, they don't really shy away. So, I mean, I guess if you had a real timid one, it might. But they're really good about wanting to protect their owners. So for this one to really kind of cower away and not go near the woods, that seems like unusual behavior.
Yeah.
But you know, skeptics are going to say it was probably a bear, which would be enough to scare a German Shepherd for sure.
Sure.
Okay. And it could have been, but most dogs don't react to bears like they've just seen Satan himself come out from the tree line. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't the only report that involved these sounds. By May of 2026, by this month, we're recording this, additional activity was being reported around Jefferson County near Yellow Creek in Toronto, Ohio. Families there describe hearing a loud whoop vocalization, repeated wood knocks, heavy movement through the woods, and sudden silence in the forest immediately beforehand. Now, that is 100% Bigfoot descriptions right yep. there. If you've ever been flipping channels and you decided you're going to stop on Finding Bigfoot show, mm-hmm. whatever it
Expedition
is,
Hunting Bigfoot.
Yeah, any of those. Okay. The knocks. Okay. These guys are out in the woods. They're making this knock, trying to get an answer, you know, yep. this tree knocking and that whoop sound. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yep. that is very common.
I've watched so many videos of people making fools of themselves standing out in the woods going, oh,
yep.
yep. trying to get a response.
Yeah. I mean, the knocking stuff comes up constantly. And so does that whooping sound. And I mean, let's face it. If Bigfoot's real, he's probably disappointed in modern humanity because we're out here in the woods just making all this racket.
Whooping like and knocking. And
total loonies.
Mm-hmm.
But they all believe, all these researchers believe, that the creature is out there trying to communicate through some type of ancient woodland signaling method. Okay?
Hmm.
But, you know, humans are running around posting blurry photos of him on Facebook. You know, like, bro, right. is this you? Now, another 2026 sighting occurred near Hammondsville, Ohio, near some power lines east of town. A witness reported seeing a large upright figure in broad daylight. And daytime sightings always get extra attention because it's harder to dismiss them as shadows or poor lighting. Still, they didn't get a clear photo. which that just seems to be Bigfoot's superpower, is I can I can appear blurry in photos. But apparently
who
this
had that
creature
joke.
Which
that,
one?
The some comedian.
The
had
Mitch
a
Hedberg joke?
Yeah, how, about how Bigfoot is just blurry.
He's blurry,
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Why isn't anybody afraid of this giant blurry creature running through the wilderness?
Yeah.
But this particular one can avoid trail cameras, outsmart drones, evade thermal imaging, hide from hunters, and somehow always get photographed with a potato.
With a potato?
Yeah. So apparently there is a series of Bigfoot photos where Bigfoot is like holding a potato, or what these people believe is a potato. Like he's a potato thief or something. Wow. And I'm going, all of those are, you know, this is jest right here. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't see it. I don't see that no matter what you believe Bigfoot is or isn't, whether it's real or not, you just can't believe that there is any type of wildish creature that can evade cameras, that knows that there's a thermal imaging being projected over there, or, you know, spots a drone and knows what it is enough to avoid it or to hide from it. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And I think that's what a lot of skeptics hone in on. Okay.
Sure.
If this thing was real, if they're out there, if we're getting this many reports, why can't we get any decent footage of this thing? And that's always been my biggest complaint, is I want to believe in Bigfoot so bad I can taste it.
But I say now, and I've said it before, one, we had great evidence, a video of it that has been analyzed over and over and over again. And only once did they say it was a man in a suit.
Yeah.
When most every other time they say, no, this can't be a man in a suit because we didn't have the technology then. And that's the Patterson-Gimlin film. And we have a great video of it. Still nobody believes it. Then we're in an age now with AI where if you show me a clear photo of it, I'm going to believe it less than if you don't have a photo of it.
It's true. It's true.
You know,
I mean, they're getting better. I mean,
in 5 minutes, I can make you a convincing Bigfoot photo.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you tell me that you saw him and was just so shocked you couldn't get your camera out of your pocket, I might believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've been listening to some guys that were involved with one of the recent UFO documentaries, and they said that's a very common thing. That a lot of skeptics will say, "Look, everybody's walking around with a dadgum 4K camera in their pocket, and nobody can get a picture of this thing, or a UFO." That's worth a flip. But I believe if you're out and about and you look up and you see something, it is so shocking. And I think your brain tries so hard to make sense of what you're seeing that, oh, take a picture, is not what comes to mind. And then by the time you come to your conscious thought to go, take a picture of this, it's too late. Mm-hmm. It's already moved too far. It's way too fast. Or you're terrified and you're running away. You know, if it's something that you see that looks like it's going to land and take you with it, or if it's Bigfoot that is not the friendly Bigfoot and he's stomping through the woods at you at breakneck speed, then you're going to get the heck out of there.
Yeah, your first reaction is not, let me take a picture of this for Instagram. And if it is, then you probably don't make it to be able to post that picture to Instagram.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
If you got Ohio Bigfoot racing at you and you're like, I'm going to post this on Instagram.
That's right.
Click. Then the next noise is, ah, as it's
right.
attacking you.
Now, so, I want that found footage. I want that. Right? I want to find a cell phone half buried out in the woods and charge it up and look at it and see this guy filming a Bigfoot that's coming right at him. You know,
look
you know,
at
the
me.
Phone hits the ground, you know. Yeah.
Look at me. I seen this Bigfoot and here he comes. He's coming to say hi.
Yeah. Then you look down and Bigfoot takes a selfie with it. You know, and,
yeah,
and
right.
Your injury.
Nowadays, he'd take a naughty photo and you're like, dang it, Bigfoot. Really? You
get another name for that.
Yeah, right.
Now, state parks have always been kind of active when it comes to Bigfoot sightings, and Ohio is no different. And one of their major hotspots for Sasquatch sightings is Salt Fork State Park. And if you're into Bigfoot lore, Salt Fork is like sacred ground. Okay, this park has decades of sightings that involve everything from eyeshine, footprints, tree structures, vocalizations, massive shadow figures, and numerous terrified campers. And that sounds like the worst Yelp review for this park ever. You know, it's like, who wants to go here? You know,
right. Right.
It's beautiful scenery. Lake was nice. Ancient ape demon screamed outside 10 at 2 a.m. 2 stars. You know, yeah, I mean, right. That's just, you know,
I would have given it 3 if it wasn't for that dang knocking and whooping outside my tent all night.
But Salt Fork even hosts the annual Ohio Bigfoot Conference, which tells you how deeply rooted these stories are in the area.
Mm-hmm.
What fascinates me about Ohio's report specifically is how many common details repeat over decades.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the witnesses are repeatedly describing these old railroad corridors and creek beds, these utility line clearings, dense wooded ravines, sudden silence in the forest and the horrible smells, dogs panicking, and all the crazy knocking and whooping. I mean, they are consistent when we look back to the late 70s to mm-hmm. these more modern reports. I mean, it's the same type stuff.
Yeah. And I know when you and I talked about it on Patreon a while back, one of the questions that people had was, are these family groups that keep coming back to the same spot?
It's more than one for sure.
At the same time of year, every year. You know, is it family groups?
Yep. And Bigfoot family reunion right here, Ohio.
Exactly.
You know.
The Ohio Foot reunion, Mr. and Mrs. Foot. You got Junior Foot coming in.
Yep. But hey, but dig this though. And this is really strange. This is one of these things you kind of just start connecting the dots. Many of these 2026 sightings appear to follow these connected wooded green belts that are between these towns. So some researchers theorize that the creatures might use these isolated corridors almost like hidden highways through the state. Remember we talked about how are they moving so fast? Well, if you look geographically, one town is connected to another town by a narrow corridor of woods. Okay, this thick wooded area that just goes from one town to the next.
Yeah.
You know, there may be roads that cut through it, but for the most part, it's a continuous tree line or, you know, this odd, you know, length of woods that something could travel through relatively unseen from town to town. That again suggests intelligence to me.
Yep.
You know, that I want to stay hidden. But
it's like game trails out in the woods, mm-hmm. but for Bigfoot.
For Bigfoot, yeah. I mean, you wonder, you know, how many of these things could move through these woods without people ever knowing? I mean, is it just a few? Is it a ton? It seems like more than a few. I mean, it's quickly as these recent sightings occurred, you want to believe that it's, I mean, a bunch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more than just a handful of Bigfoots running around.
Yeah.
But skeptics are going to report that the 2026 flap was probably caused by social contagion. One person makes the news, and then suddenly everybody interprets everything they see or hear as Bigfoot. And honestly, that is 100% possible. And misidentifications occur all the time.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't like it for this number of sightings, but it is possible that you would have a few of those people either misidentifying or making something up whole cloth that they saw.
Well, and I was talking to Brooks about this earlier tonight. What really makes it stick out to me is when you listen to these eyewitnesses. These people genuinely seem terrified. They are not excited that they saw this. They're not, they don't seem to be attention seeking. They are scared. Okay. And that's what I told him. I said, you can only imagine how many reports that the Bigfoot Research Organization gets in a week. Okay. Especially after one sighting. So everybody's like, oh, you know, everybody got excited and everything. I would almost guarantee that there were hundreds reported and that a lot of them were like, man, hey, there was something. My dog got scared last night and wouldn't go off the porch. There was something knocking around in the woods. Okay. Yep. Is that it? Well, yeah, it was probably Bigfoot, right? Click. You know,
right,
it's like,
right.
No, you know, that could have been anything. That could have been just any animal. It could have been a raccoon for crying out loud and your dog's just a chicken.
Yeah, right.
I mean, right. You know, but I understand the idea that, you know, you get one sighting reported and then everything is Bigfoot. I think they do indeed get this. And these that we're talking about tonight are the ones that were weeded out.
Yeah,
these are the ones that they could say, we can't explain this, or there's enough detail here for us to believe that this could indeed be a Bigfoot sighting, an Ohio Grassman sighting, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't look at it as there were, you know, 8 reports and they were like, look at 8. No, I would almost guarantee there's hundreds. And they've weeded through, and these are the ones that stand out to go, hey, check out these. Forget about all this, you know.
I'm sure you're probably right.
Yep. Because I've always said, especially with Bigfoot, is you take all the reports, and you take half of them, and you pitch them. Because they're garbage. They're just
the first quarter and the last quarter.
Yep. And then of what you got left, you take half of those, and you pull them out if people just... you know, either misidentifying something, you know, they believe they saw something, but it's not, you can disprove it, or it's people just looking for attention or a hoax, and you take those out. What do you got left? We can't disprove this. These people seem legitimate. They're not crazy. They don't seem like they want any extra attention. They're just reporting what they saw. And I think that's what we've got here. Mm-hmm. You know, I really, really do. But regardless of it, these stories endure. I mean, people keep having experiences and they keep reporting these stories because deep down, somewhere buried in that ancient part of our brain, humans still fear the wilderness. Okay? We fear the idea that there's something out there watching us from the trees. And in Ohio, it sounds like it probably is. And it's weaving little grass huts to do it from. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human blind. Okay. That's what it's building.
Basically.
Okay. the idea of an intelligent Bigfoot type creature, you know, being curious about humans, you know, enough to go look in through windows, to be intelligent enough to build a shelter, you know, not seek a shelter, you know, not go crawl in a cave to build a structure.
And it's different than we've heard before, where they bend trees to like mark a section. Yeah. We've heard that, where they'll bend saplings down. This is like,
these are little grass huts. They're like nests. They're big nests is what they are.
Yep.
It's,
and deer don't do that.
No.
Sorry.
No. Unless they've got like giant birds living out there, which I got you. You'd probably see them too.
Yeah. Giant possums maybe, but.
But what do you guys think? I mean, you know, Adam and I, we love Bigfoot. Okay. Mm-hmm. We want these stories to be real. We really, really do. But we have to look at it with a little bit of skepticism. But these stories seem legit. At least I believe the people saying it, they saw something. You know, they experienced something that they or investigators can't really explain. You know, something really big, something really fast, something with some unique eye shine, whatever it is, the weird knocking or the whooping noises. These are all things that other wildlife in that area do not do. So something's doing it. So what could it be? Tell us what you think. And of course, the best place to do that is in our Facebook group. It's called the Graveyard. There are thousands of people in there making comments about, you know, our shows, offering up suggestions, asking for help, sharing jokes. It's just a really cool place to hang out and share some of these stories, because if you're listening to us, you love hearing these stories. So jump in there. If you're from that area of Ohio, maybe you've seen something or heard something that you thought, I didn't tell anybody about this, but maybe it's a good place. Let us know.
Yep, tell us about it.
And don't forget to check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. There you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. Hey, do you need that new coffee mug for your morning commute this summer? Or do you want that tumbler, that Graveyard Tales tumbler, to sit out by the pool? Hey, this is a good time to pick one up. Adam and I get rich off of this, okay?
No, there's some redesigned logos.
I'm not even sure we make any money off of this at all. But,
no,
but we appreciate you doing it. Somebody may see your cup and go, hey, what's Graveyard Tales?
You know. Yep. And there's new designs on there that we recently put up.
Absolutely.
As of recording this episode, they've been up there a few days, something like that. But it's reimagined logos of our classic logos.
Yeah. So go check it out. And our website is also where you can become a patron. And like I said at the top of the show, look, we've got a huge back catalog of bonus episodes, Patreon content, side quest. I promise you there's something in there that you will absolutely love to binge on that on that vacation road trip this summer. So go check it out, and you'd be helping out Graveyard Tales, and Adam and I would sincerely appreciate it. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
It's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.